Written there in crimson, you told me I'm forgiven. It is done. It is done. So if you never speak another word of blessing, and the silence leaves me with a sense of loss, I'll remember when my heart begins to question any doubt that you love me was settled at the cross.
I would be the first to admit I don't deserve the kind of favor you have always shown. But you don't have to tell me. You proved how much you love me, and I know I'll still
was settled at the cross. Every word was mercy, every breath forgave, every drop of blood testifies of grace. So if you never speak another word of blessing, the silence leaves me with a sense of loss, I'll remember when my heart begins to question any doubt that you love me was settled at the cross. Any doubt that you love me settled at the cross.
Very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight, and we'll be there for our lesson on the Lord's Supper. Very familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you comfortable tonight? Is everybody comfortable out there? Are you warm? Are you comfortable? Anybody stuffy? We're okay. Anybody cold? All right, very good. Very, very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Find verse 23 there in that chapter. If you're able to, out of honor for God's word, why don't you join me in standing as I read three or four verses here from this chapter. Here's what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Father, I thank you for this ordinance that you left to the church to observe on whatever basis we choose to observe it. And Father, we are grateful for the opportunities that we have on a Sunday evening, four times a year, to come together as a church body and remember the sacrifice of your Son on Calvary. So I pray that you will draw us close to him tonight through this time. May our hearts be prepared and ready to receive what you have for us. Thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. It's noteworthy to realize that one of the most carnal, worldly, and immature churches of all those mentioned had made a farce out of the Lord's table. In all the epistles that Paul wrote to churches, this is the most extensive passage dealing with the Lord's Supper. Now here's the correlation. Missing the true purpose of the Lord's table was one of the reasons why this church was in such a carnal condition. When this ordinance is observed properly, it draws God's people closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, by default, we're drawn closer to each other. Now, if it's just ritual, it will never accomplish that which it was intended to accomplish. If we allow ourselves to look around us at others in the congregation, or if we allow ourselves to look around us at events that are occurring in our country right now or in our world, then we will miss the purpose of this ordinance. We are commanded to look to Christ. We're commanded to look at our Savior. And the very elements involved in this ordinance are designed to cause us to do just that. Through the years, a couple of times I have mentioned about Ben. When Ben was a kid, he was one of those that was just bouncing off the wall, probably ADD, ADHD type kid. And he was loud. And when he would walk, I would take him bus visiting with me on Saturdays in Iowa, and we'd go to Muscatine, Iowa City, places like that. And when he would walk down the sidewalks, he was so easily distracted by everything going on around him in those huge cities of, you know, Muscatine and everything. He was so easily distracted that he would walk looking backwards. And I'd say, son, and inevitably he ran into posts. He ran into poles. And I just finally got tired of I used to get frustrated at him. And look where you're going. Look ahead of you. And finally, I just gave up on it. And after enough knots on his forehead, he learned that, you know, if you're going to keep your head, you got to keep walking. You got to look where you're going. Look ahead of you. And I remember that clear as day. It was a constant issue with him until he was about 23 or so. But then he finally got over it. But, you know, this ordinance that we're going to observe tonight is designed to cause us to do both. It's designed to cause us to look backward. And then it's designed to cause us to look forward. It has both of those. Concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Not around at each other. Not at the things that are going on in the world right now. In our country. In the world. No, no. They were designed to look backward and forward, centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I want to point out, we are to take a look backward at Jesus. Now, Paul is very specific about that, which we are to look backward to concerning Jesus. We're not to look back at His birth. We're not to look back at His baptism. We're not to look back at His miracles, His teaching, or His preaching. And by the way, there is something wonderful about all of those elements in Jesus' life. In fact, there is just something wonderful about Jesus in everything and in every way. But we're not commanded to look back at any of those things. We are first of all, to look back at His body. His body. Look at verses 23 and 24. Again, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Now look at it. "This do in remembrance of me." So Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he passed it to the disciples, and he told them that it was symbolic of his body, which was broken for them. People, the bread, he never said the bread was his body. He never said the bread becomes my body when you swallow it. It is symbolic. It represents his body. It is a picture of his body, which he said was broken for them. When they took a piece of the bread and ate it, they were to remember him. And specifically, they were to take a look backward at the body of Jesus. In a little bit, when the men come, they'll take the plates and the plates will be passed. And when that plate of bread is passed to us in a little bit, this is what we should be doing. We should be taking a look backward at the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the bread represents, his body that was given on the cross of Calvary to suffer our hell for us so that our bodies would not have to suffer the hell we deserve. He took our place. We're supposed to remember that. The bread is a picture of the body of Christ. Now, the bread that we'll pass tonight has no leaven in it. It's leaven-free. Because in the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin. It has no yeast in it. That's why it's flat. Yeast causes bread to rise. This bread has no leaven in it. It has no yeast in it. Because in the Bible, leaven was a picture of sin. And Jesus Christ had no sin. He had a body that was not defiled by sin. His body was not touched by sin. And he gave his sinless body for us. By the way, Jesus did not contradict the prophecy that's in Psalm 34:20. In Psalm 34:20, the writer said this, "He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken." Not one of his bones is broken. Now, Jesus, in verse number 24, is recorded as saying that his body would be broken for them. And his body was, but not a bone in his body was broken. None of them. His face was slapped. His brow was crowned with thorns. His beard was torn from his face. His torso was ripped to shreds by the cat of nine tails at the scourging post where he took 39 lashes. And we've described that cat of nine tails before. How that long Roman whip had those nine pieces of whatever scattered off of it, or four or five, but it nine pieces, if you will, of bone or sharp rock, and they would wrap that scourge around the body, and that's bad enough, the sting of the being whipped with that whip, but then the Roman soldier with all of his might would, and those pieces of bone and sharp rock would just rip. Rip. His face up here, his skin was broken. His brow broken by the thorns. His beard torn from his face. His torso ripped to shreds. So his body was beaten so badly. Isaiah the prophet said he was not recognizable as a man. I'm trying to tell you what we're supposed to remember tonight. Now, this little picture of Jesus on a cross with a little trickle of blood here and a little bit of blood here and a little bit of blood on his feet is not what happened to him on that cross. His body was broken. We are to remember that his body was offered as a substitute for all of our bodies. So when that little piece of bread comes by tonight, you're a born-again Christian in good fellowship with the Lord, and you take that thing and put a little piece of bread and hold it in your hand, it is a reminder for you and me to look backward at the body of the Lord Jesus that was offered on Calvary to pay the debt of sin that we owe. We're to look backward at his body. But then we're also to look back at his blood. Verse number 25, he goes on, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, again, in remembrance of me. So the juice in this cup represents the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed, the Bible says, for the remission of our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And it had to be sinless blood. It had to be sinful blood, cannot pay the debt of sinful blood. It took sinless blood to pay the debt of sinful blood. It was not shed for the remission of his sin. He had no sin. His blood was shed so my sin and your sin could be washed away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And friend, I don't know what you're trusting in tonight to wash your sin away and make it so you're fit for heaven. But I will tell you something. If you trusted in anything other than the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else, nothing else can wash away that sin but the precious blood of Jesus. We're to remember the blood that flowed from His head, His face, His lips, His hands, His feet, His torso. And dare we forget the blood that while He was on the cross had pooled in His chest cavity. And when the Roman soldier came with the spear and jabbed it up through His side, the Bible says that blood and water came pouring forth. Yeah, I don't know that I can find, I don't know, maybe this can be substantiated by Scripture. Maybe this is just me speculating, but it is my guess that the Lord Jesus Christ did not reserve one drop of His blood when He died to pay our sin debt. I think He shed it all. All. We're to look backward at His body. We're to look backward at His blood. There is a fountain, hallelujah, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. Take a look back at the blood that cleansed you and remember that it flowed from the veins. Are you listening? Not of an ordinary man. It wasn't ordinary blood. That one on the cross is God's Son. As the songwriter said, one of the songs that we sing, great price of our pardon, His own precious Son. It wasn't the blood of just some great man. It was the blood of the divine Son of God that was shed on the cross for my sin and your sin. I am to take a look backward at the body and blood of Jesus and remember that He gave His life for mine. One of our singers once in a while sings that beautiful song, His life for mine, His life for mine. How could it ever be that He would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine. He gave His life for mine. You know, we're not supposed to be thinking about the bank account. We're not supposed to be thinking about work tomorrow. We're not supposed to be thinking about the difficulties here or the anticipation of this or what's ahead of us tomorrow and how this is going to happen in school and what's in the act, you know, is it going to snow? Is it not going to snow? Jesus said, when the bread is passed and when the cup is passed, you're to do this in remembrance of me. Of me. Take a look backward. When you hold the bread in your hand, take a look backward. When you hold the juice in your hand, be reminded of His body. Be reminded of His blood. Be reminded of His love for you. As they sang, if there's never any other blessing in life from God's hand, you don't ever have to question if He loved you. He proved it all on the cross of Calvary. All right. So we're to take a look backward at Jesus. But then secondly, church, we're to take a look forward to Jesus. You see that in verse number 26, where He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, here it is now, till he come. We're to be reminded tonight during this ordinance that one day, the one we are remembering will return for us and take us home to be with him. We're to look forward tonight to the coming of our Lord. This ordinance is to remind us that better days are ahead. Better times are coming. And not just that better times are coming, but that we are going to see the Lord. Now we look forward to a day when we'll hear that trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel will proclaim, "Come up hither." We look forward to the day when we'll be invited to the wedding supper, the marriage feast of the Lamb of God, where Jesus Himself will serve us. We look forward to the day when all sin will be gone and we will dwell in the presence of the Lord, who is worthy to receive honor and power and glory and blessing. This world in which we live is not as good as it gets. A better day is ahead. That's where John and Frank's mother is today. The land that's fairer than day. That's where Brother Ted Houston is, who so faithfully preached. He's in that land that's fairer than day. That's where John Wagonshoots is. In that land that's fairer than day. This is not the best it is. The best is yet to come. I think about the song, "There Waits for Me a Glad Tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. And when I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday, beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday, God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill." That's what this is supposed to remind us of tonight. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. The day of rest shall dawn at last. So Christian, take a look back tonight. Take a look back at the blood. Take a look back at the body of the Lord Jesus. And then look ahead. This world is not your home. And let this remind you tonight that Jesus is coming. And if we go before His coming, we will be in His presence in heaven. And we'll come with Him for all those who still remain on the earth. And if we are here when He comes, we'll be snatched away into His presence. So whether it's by way of the grave or by way of rapture, we're going to be in His presence when He comes. And that's what this is supposed to remind us of. So take a look backward tonight when you're holding the bread and remember the body of Jesus broken for you. And when you hold the juice, take a look backward and remember the blood of Jesus shed for the remission of your sin. And throughout the supper, as we pass the bread and the juice, and you're meditating on that, instead of looking backward, look forward to the day when we will sit in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and lives forevermore, conquering death, sin, and the grave. One of these days, that trumpet will sound, and we'll be going home. Soon, and maybe very soon, we shall see the King. This is what this reminds us of tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this ordinance, such a wonderful, wonderful ordinance for our church, for any church. And Lord, thank You for what it does in our hearts. And I pray tonight, God, that we will not miss the opportunity, that we will not let this pass without fulfilling and realizing the full purpose of what it means for us. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Everything about it is Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your body. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your soon return to this earth. And God, I pray that you will help us tonight to put the events of yesterday, tomorrow, next week, the burdens that we shoulder for the moment, may we set them aside and let this ordinance do its work in us that you designed for it to do. May it warm our hearts. May it draw us closer to the Lord Jesus, who gave himself that we might be saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't want to just assume tonight that every person in the building is saved. By that, I mean, do you know where you're going when you die? Saved is a Bible word. It's having your sins forgiven. It's being washed in the blood that Jesus shed. It's by faith, trusting in what he did to pay the sin debt you owe. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you saved, dear friend? This will be a wonderful night, if you're not sure of your salvation, to get that matter completely settled before God. So I wonder, before we get ready to close in prayer, if there's anybody here tonight, and you say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I don't have that assurance in my heart. And that troubles me. I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray intelligently for you, not by name. I call your name, wouldn't come to you. But if you're not sure that you're saved, the Lord Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood so that you could have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. Is there somebody tonight, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, front to back, side to side, anybody that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Can I see your hand just quietly slip it up and right back down as I glance across the auditorium a couple times? Anybody, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm a born-again child of God. Father, I pray that you'll use this ordinance tonight, this brief time around this table, to cause us to help our hearts warm tonight at the thought of what your Son did to make it possible for us to be saved. Bless this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. For just a moment or two, the altar is going to be open for anybody that would like to make a trip here and prepare your heart to receive the Lord's Supper tonight. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the pianist is playing, and you allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart tonight. Don't miss the purpose of this ordinance, this time, around what we call the Lord's table. It's a time to put our minds on Him. Is that too much for Jesus to ask of you and me? This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. For just a few moments, put everything outside of your mind and think on me. Think on my body. Think on my blood. Think on my soon return. Let me occupy your thought. Give me the energy of your minds for a few moments. And do this in remembrance of me. I'll ask the men who are going to serve the supper to go ahead and come take your seats on the front pews here. Explain here how we do this here at Faith Baptist. If you're saved and you're in good fellowship with the Lord and a member of a church of like faith and practice, we invite you to participate with us in this. If you're not sure you're saved, then really it's not designed for you. It's not a slam against you. It's just not designed for somebody who's not saved. It's designed for saved people to have their hearts warm thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pass the bread. The men will pass the plates. You take a piece of the bread and give the Lord your mind. Take a look back and be reminded of his body. And we'll do the same thing with the juice. We'll have somebody thank the Lord for coming and giving His body and giving His blood. And then we'll take the bread and drink the juice as a church together. And in the Bible, I already read this, but let me say it one more time, that He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." So these next several minutes are all about Him. All about Him. Song, The Old Rugged Cross, if you need the words to that hymn. It's page 340 in your songbook. We'll join them in singing the first verse of this great song as they finish. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish. Amen. Till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. On verse 3 together. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Singing, so I'll share rugged cross, where my trophies at last morning for devotions. I didn't plan it. It just fell in my schedule from Psalm 22, which is a messianic psalm about the crucifixion of Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not the Gospels, that's Psalms. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. I thirst. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. The thief on the cross said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Two things drastically wrong with that. If thou be the Christ, he missed it. He missed it. There's no if about it. He is the Messiah. And he didn't come to save himself. He came to save us. And in order for us to be saved, he had to die. And that's what this reminds us of tonight. His body, which was broken for us. But Luke, would you ask the Lord to bless this time and thank him for going to the cross to die for our sins. The bread is a picture of his body. The juice is a picture of his blood. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Are your sins forgiven tonight? It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Ask the men to pass the blood. Thank you. Page 246, if you need the words, let's sing a little bit tonight about that fountain. 246, there is a filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners beneath that blood to lose all their guilty stains, to lose all their guilty stains, to lose all their guilty stains, and sinners once beneath that blood to lose all their guilty stains. I like verse number 2. The dying thief rejoice to see that mountain in its place. And there no vile wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I go by. Wash my sins away. Let's sing the last bit. Shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness, no washing away of man's sin. But thank God the blood has been shed and will never lose its power, ever. Brother Jack McDonald, would you thank Jesus for shedding His blood for our salvation? As a reminder that He shed His blood so our sins could be gone. He said that took a little while, about 20 minutes. How long was He on the cross? 6 hours. I don't think 20 minutes is too much to ask for. We sang a song about the body. We sang a song about the blood. Let's sing a song about His coming. 372, I believe. I looked it up, but I may have forgotten it. But I didn't. Amen. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Fellas are going to pass the baskets. As they pass the baskets, we can put the cups in there. Let's stand together. 372 in your book. It will be worth it all. There, this is not the song I'm thinking about. This is the wrong one. No. It will be worth it. What is that song called? When we see Christ. I didn't know there was a song called It Will Be Worth It All, but there is. All right. What is When We See Christ? Let's look that one up. When, 363. There we go. Only 9 pages away. Let's sing it. 363. There it is. Off time today seems long. Lift it up tonight, and we'll sing about our Lord's coming. Off times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. Forever in God's eternity. we think. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody and have a great week. Love you. Bye-bye.